welcome back to the Fiercely Altered Perspective.
Also known as the Fat Pod.
Hell yeah.
I'm Ember.
I'm Quinn.
And we're almost at the end of our opening week.
Yes, we are.
And there's been some super exciting stuff that's been going on. It's been crazy.
It's been good.
It's been so good.
And apparently we can't understand how a calendar works.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know how we would have fixed it unless
we stumble fucked our way through it just like we're doing right now.
Right. Well, because we originally planned that we were going to have all these episodes pre-recorded like a month ago.
Yeah.
And so then we would have been able to plug in and say, okay, this goes to this date, this goes to this date, this goes to this date.
Yeah.
But you see, we had two by the time we launched.
Yep.
So every day since then, we've been trying to stay 2 days ahead.
Yeah. So this comes out Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what night is it?
Tuesday night. At 9:30. What's up?
Yeah. So Tuesday night at 9:30. And you guys are going to get this bright and early Thursday morning.
Yep.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. You know, at first with wanting to have everything pre-recorded and stuff like that, that's great. And that's awesome. And we can start doing that for things in the future.
Right.
But I think it was good for us to, one, challenge ourselves.
Right.
Two, apparently we like the pain. That's a lot of crunch work. Oh, so much stress. I don't think I've really eaten this week.
Right.
I keep forgetting.
Right.
But it's been amazing and I wouldn't change it at all because we're trying to catch our flow, see where we're at. And it also helps to have interaction
with
listeners. It really does. I mean, we could pre-record it, but what if our first or second episode really isn't what we want or it doesn't go with the
vibe? It just doesn't have the right vibe. Absolutely. Right.
So, but we did promise you guys an episode every day, so we got it. But I thought we would do the Tillamook case, then the Loveland case, and then we would go into our huge case.
Right.
However, you came to me, and he said, look at this calendar, I think we're off. And so we did, and then we were like, oh no, we don't have anything between Loveland.
We don't have anything for,
Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, well, no. Between the Loveland case and our huge case that we're starting tomorrow.
Right.
So we were like, oh no, what are we going to do? So I kind of threw together something as quickly as possible. And that's what tonight is.
Right.
So we might have a couple of
Sure.
Hold-ons.
Sure.
But then yesterday I was checking off, okay, today is Monday. That means this episode came out. So this comes out tomorrow. This one comes. Oh, man.
Son of a bitch.
We don't need this little case that I'm trying to throw together.
But we've already talked about it a few different times.
We already said that we were going to do this one.
Right.
But we've also said that we were going to do 2 days of our big case.
Right.
So what do?
We give you this one.
Yeah.
But then for Friday, we're not going to give you two episodes, but we're going to give you a twofer in one episode.
Right. So you'll have the length or the amount of information that you would get out of two podcasts in one. So Friday will probably be a longer episode than what we have been doing. And you good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we decided that we'll still do this little fun episode and then go into our super awesome episode. And we still don't even know how many episodes that's going to turn out to be.
Right. But
we'll get our stuff together. It will be fine.
Well, yeah. And to go with that, the big one that's coming out on Friday
tomorrow
is gonna be barrels of fun.
So many barrels. It's gonna be awesome. Not gonna be able to handle it.
It's
gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
That is for tomorrow. So today, most of these things are going to be kind of goofy, funny, weird, or make you go, what the hell?
Right. These are unique laws,
strange
things,
odd
things,
and
what the fuck?
Right. And we have a couple of them that are serious, as in, why is this a thing?
Right.
You know, this should never be a thing.
Right.
But out of those, the rest of them are just kind of crazy and fun, because we also like to laugh as much as we like to tell a good story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And be informative. But, you know, there's times when you have to be serious and there's times when you have to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're done being super serious for a while, you gotta laugh it off.
Oh, yeah. You gotta take take a break. You got to see the world for what it is. Mm-hmm. And the world is full of comical errors.
Right. And so we're hoping that tonight's episode will bring more of that comedic relief.
Sure.
You know, because we had happy relief with, look at all these awesome documentaries.
Right.
You know, but we'll also have just a crazy episode.
Sure. It's going to be an adventure. It's kind of like watching someone walk down the street and they're on their phone and they're not paying attention and they are lost. They're so surrounded in their own little world that they don't realize that they're coming up on a curb. And, and you know that they're going to stumble fuck all over themselves as they get to that curb and they take that flat-footed step they're expecting.
Oh, that fear. Oh my God, I've right. felt that so many times.
Right. And they take that flat-footed step they're expecting, but there's a 6-inch drop, and it's amazing what 6 inches does, because they
full in more ways than one. It's amazing.
Yard sale.
In more ways than one, 6 inches can be amazing if it has to be.
Wait, what?
What?
Pervert.
Never. Never. I am a lady.
Oddly enough, that's going to come back in this episode.
I know. It's so great.
It feels so good, but it's also wrong.
But yeah,
wait, what?
The most evil part of me loves to watch people when they do that or when they trip. Oh my gosh, it's so great. Only because I do it all the time. The other day I did that coming down the stairs. I thought that it was going to be done.
Right.
And it wasn't. And that moment is the most terrifying moment that you have for just the shortest amount of time.
Did you Jackie Chan the hell out of it?
I fell into the banister.
Uno mosh?
Uno mosh. It's been so long since I've watched that. Ooh. Uno mosh? Uno mosh. Oh, I love it. Okay, so we'll be serious for a second.
Right.
Get it together. Okay. The first crazy amount of information that we're going to throw at you is the HAD law, which was also known as the Homosexual Advance Defense. And it was a legal defense to use against assault or murder of a homosexual. So basically, it would reduce the sentence down and have it be like voluntary manslaughter versus murder. And with that, it's basically saying that the defendant was in such a fear for their life being around somebody who is homosexual that they went into a blind rage and murdered them.
Right.
So it's like a plea of insanity for a split second, aka bullshit.
Right. A lot of bullshit. So I need to read to you guys what my lovely, beautiful bride put in this. With the HAD law, it claims that the defendant acted in a temporary violent insanity due to a psychiatric condition, also known as homosexual panic.
Hey,
what the fuck is a condition?
I don't know. I just type out my word fuck ups. We know that I'm going to say something like that in the process.
It happens.
So I might as well just type it in. Screw it.
Oh, it's all good. So this term was actually coined by the famous psychiatrist Edward J. Kempf in 1920. Keep in mind that homosexuality was considered a mental disorder until 1973, when it was finally removed from the DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders.
1973.
Yeah.
Hold one second. That is insane.
Yeah,
that
1973.
Is crazy. That is crazy. Because another fun fact is back in the day with the immigration laws, they said that you could not come over if you were gay.
No shit.
They viewed it as a mental condition.
Jesus.
So, and that didn't get abolished out of there. Like, they stopped using it a long, long time ago, but it didn't finally get taken out until like 90s.
Wow.
Yeah. So this being that they also considered it a full-on mental disorder, people were put into asylums all the time just for being homosexual, and then having it not taken out until 73, even though they knew way before then that it wasn't a mental disorder.
Right.
Like, it took until the 70s.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
So, Dr. Kempf was known to say that it was a panic due, this is quotes,
yes,
a panic due to the pressure of uncontrollable perverse sexual cravings, also known as homosexuals would force people into being gay.
Right, so somebody would be so afraid of being in a room with a homosexual that they would think that they would instantly turn gay. So in an act of defense, in fear for their life, they could then kill that homosexual and then try to say, I was in fear for my life.
Which is a crock of shit.
Right. If some dude beats the shit out of his wife and kills her and then tries to say, oh, I was scared of her, I was in defense, like, no, it's bullshit. Nobody's going to fall for that. We know better than that. So why do we think that somehow this thing would be justified?
Yeah.
If you're not going to justify it with anybody of any race or any sexual preference. Orientation.
Right.
You're dumb?
Yeah, but no.
It just blows my mind that you temporarily went insane. You had no control over what happened. You saw somebody who likes their same sex and you lost your shit and you murdered him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's a legit defense.
Right. And what pisses me off is that it's worked.
Unfortunately, it has.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So they would say that it was an acute dissociative disorder, which causes the disruption in perception and memory functions of an individual. Other people kind of mocked it and called it the Kempf disease.
Right.
And then by the time it wasn't acknowledged in the DSM, you would think that then it would be taken out of our law, right?
You'd think.
Because it doesn't have any sort of backing anymore.
Right.
All of the backing that it used to have, everybody realized is bullshit.
Right.
And so they took it out. So to me, that would say that law is completely useless and shouldn't even be in there anymore, nor should it be able to be used.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wrong.
However, it's still completely legal to use in places like South Australia. The rest of Australia and New Zealand have abolished this law, but South Australia still has it on their law books.
Uh-huh.
But Australia isn't the only place. We have it here in America, and it's been used recently as well. Here in America, it's called HPD. Henry Paul David. It stands for the Homosexual Panic Defense. In a trial for the murder of Larry King, who was 15 years old, and not Larry King, the radio voice.
No.
A totally different Larry King.
Yes.
But he was a 15-year-old who would cross-dress. He was shot twice and murdered by his classmate, Brandon McLerney,
mm-hmm.
in 2008.
2008.
Uh-huh.
10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Not that long.
His sentence was reduced from murder to voluntary manslaughter. Then it went to mistrial, and he ended up pleading guilty in 2015 to serve, or excuse me, in 2011 to serve 21 years
for murdering somebody.
For murdering someone
because they were different than you.
Huh.
I hate people so much.
That's a crock of shit.
Like that's your only defense. That's it. That's all you got, is that they were different than you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I hate you. Yeah. And some of these cases have been used as recently as 2015.
Jesus Christ.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
So we all know that the trials that the LGBTQ community has to go over throughout our history, it's always been a struggle. We just covered that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So the one cool thing that I did find when I was researching is that at least from 2007 to 2013, it showed a raise in polls of people saying that a lifestyle different than just straight,
right,
should be accepted by society. And so it raised it by 49%. So that's huge. It raised almost half,
right,
in 10 years.
Right.
So at least we're finally getting there.
Yeah. Well, and I know that we've talked about not going political and this, that, and the other, but
right,
I'll go ahead and say this. In the eyes of regular America,
mm-hmm.
I am a quote unquote conservative male.
Right.
I'm, again, quote unquote middle-aged. I'm a white male. I like my guns.
Mm-hmm.
I lean more to the conservative side than I do to the liberal side.
Mm-hmm.
I work in the oil and gas industry. I enjoy guns. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to camp.
So you're like all things bad right now.
Right.
Right.
However, I am a firm believer that love is love.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me who you love. If you find someone that loves you the same amount that you love them.
Right. That's all that matters.
To me, the ultimate question is, what is the purpose of life?
Right.
Happiness.
Exactly.
To me.
So all of this shit is just like bullshit. Like, why the fuck do you care what other people are doing?
Right.
It doesn't affect you.
Right. And this ties back to one of my favorite things. Hmm. What other people think of you is none of your business.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so there shouldn't be dumbass laws that try to prevent people from just being able to be a people.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, there's, you don't even have to agree. You don't even have to like it, but to not give somebody the same opportunity as you just because you're insecure with yourself, like you can't chill the fuck out for 2 seconds. Maybe you should quit giving so many fucks about stupid shit.
Oh, and you know.
Do some self-reflecting on that.
Right. And here's the fun part about it. You and I personally have quite a few friends that are in the LGBTQ community that we've hung out with, that we've gone to parties with, that we've all gathered up around and the whole nine yards. And you know what? I have had an absolute riot every single time that we've been in that club or in that community.
Right.
I've never felt threatened. I've never felt pressured. I've never felt anything other than love and acceptance for being straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're all together to have a good time and watch UFC or watch a movie or...
It's not like we all sit around a table and talk about...
Banging.
Yeah. Right. No.
And that's the deal, is what you do behind your closed doors, is it any of my business?
No.
Hell no, it's not.
I just need to know what kind of toppings you like on your pizza, so I know what to make.
Right.
That's about all I need.
What's your stance on pineapple?
I mean, no. I'll eat it because it's pizza, but I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm a fat kid. I love my pizza.
Right.
But that's like this law. I could almost understand this law if it was reversed. If it was saying that the defendant was a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And felt in fear for their life, so they killed somebody. Like,
I see what you're saying. Like, I'm with you here.
They're saying for these other people that it's straight people that were so afraid of a homosexual that they, out of nowhere, the homosexual doesn't even have to be doing anything, just in the fucking room,
standing there breathing.
Yeah, and they can go and be like, murder, murder, murder. I could almost understand it more if it was reversed, because we've always looked down on people that were different.
Sure. So in 2014, California was the first state to abolish this law. And then most recently, on June 2nd of 2017, Illinois would also get rid of it.
So we have two.
Right. That still means there's 48 states in the United States that hold fast to this fucking garbage law.
It's outdated.
Right.
But the fact still remains that people can use it.
Oh, yeah. It's available for them to use.
Yeah.
And sadly, it's still accepted.
Yeah. And so what I want to do is I want to write Utah. I mean, like, this law is bullshit. You know this? Like, why do we have this? Get rid of it. Make it go away.
Yeah.
We all know that that's the worst defense ever.
Right.
It should be openly mocked if somebody even tried to do it.
Right.
Like, if somebody came in and said, I'm going to go with the HPD law, I'd be like, guilty.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. No. Sadly, though.
Because then you know that it's just a hate crime.
It is.
If that's their defense, you know exactly what that situation really was.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the deal, is there is this law, but then there's the hate crime law.
Mm-hmm.
So one side could pull one, the other side could pull the other.
Right.
And...
You have, like, contradicting laws.
No, oh, absolutely.
Makes no sense.
Absolutely. Welcome to the justice system.
Yeah, I don't know laws. They're all confusing and weird.
Right. Well, just like here in our little town,
mm-hmm.
you are only allowed an acceptable limit of window tint. However, the police department is exempt.
Mm-hmm.
They can go as dark as they want.
Mm-hmm.
You see it all the time. I've been cited numerous times for window tint,
mm-hmm.
but you see dudes rolling around with full blown limo tint from front to back,
mm-hmm.
but it's okay for them because they need it so they can be, you know, so they can be undercover in their marked cars.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that you're trying to be incognito, but it says police department
mm-hmm.
all the way down the side of your vehicle.
Right.
So it's a double standard.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just seems weird to have, you're going to have stuff called like a hate crime, but then you can have people that are going to say, I'm just a victim of HPD.
Yeah.
No.
I was in fear for my life because there was a homosexual within 50 feet of me.
If you kill any one of my friends for being different because you're fucking psychopath, guess what? You're a psychopath.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of defense you have. You're a piece of shit.
Uh-huh.
And I hope prison is very very bad for you. Like, that's all I have to say.
I hope they give you nothing but powdered soap.
Yeah, that. Oh my gosh. So I just want that whole law to just go the fuck away.
Okay.
So that was like our one serious one. If you also hate that law, I don't know. Maybe talk to some people. Try to see if you can get your state to get rid of it, because that's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
But now we're going to go into just whatevers.
Just laws that make you scratch your head and go, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
What? Well, laws and facts.
Yeah.
So Albert Packer was the first man in the USA to be convicted of cannibalism in 1874. He was born January 21. Oh, shit.
Albert Packer's my buddy.
they share the same birthday, except for Ember was not born in 1842.
Maybe I was. Maybe I just look really, really good for my age.
I'm going to argue that fact. But, however.
Oh, you're saying I don't look good for my age. I see how it is. I'm going to get stabbed.
Women.
I love you.
Can't live with them. Can't do most positions without them. I mean,
you're such a
fuck,
dick.
I said that out loud.
Yeah, you did. Asshole. Keep going.
So, while Mr. Packer was traveling through the mountains in Colorado during the middle of winter, him and his group of friends became trapped. They were in the Breckenridge area, and he was the only survivor, and he did such by, well, snacking on his homeboys after he took them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I can understand survival of the fittest, but no. Because you can survive on pine bark. And if you're up in Breckenridge area and you're trapped in the winter, build you a snow cave. You can survive in a snow cave for a long time and eat pine bark. It's not very nutritious, but it's going to fill a void.
Right.
Just saying.
Well, who knows? It was a long time ago.
Right.
I mean, would I do it if I wanted to survive? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Right. So how does this tie into strange or unique or unnecessary laws?
Not all of these are laws.
Oh, okay. This is just an unusual fact.
Yeah, this is useless information.
Okay.
All of it.
Okay.
Well, and he was the first one ever convicted of cannibalism, so I'm sure they had to then create a law saying cannibalism is bad, okay?
Okay.
You can't be snacking on your peoples, okay?
You can't have any pudding if you don't eat your meat.
Oh my goodness. So this one is a fun little law that is also terrifying to think about at the same time.
Yeah.
So Texas Representative Tom Moore Jr. wanted to prove how little his fellow legislators actually read bills that were being passed.
Uh-huh.
So he decided to make his own bill. He created this little gem, and Tom Moore Jr., I love you. Because this bill was to honor Albert DeSalvo for his work in population control. This bill passed with a unanimous vote.
So what does a unanimous vote mean?
It means that they said yes.
Everyone.
We should honor this man for his population control.
Yeah.
Okay.
That everyone.
Every single one in Congress passed it.
In the state of Texas Congress.
Well, Yeah.
Do tell. Do explain.
So for those who don't know who Albert DeSalvo was, he would be the serial killer, also known as the Boston Strangler. The one who raped and murdered 13 women between ages of 19 and 84 in 1962 through 1964, usually by strangling them with their own items of clothing. So we'll go through his story at another time.
Yeah.
But this guy, just to be a dick and prove a point.
Yeah.
Because nobody was listening to him when he said nobody's reading these. He's like, fine, let's honor a serial killer.
And they and did it.
That makes me so happy on so many levels.
Bravo, Texas. Bravo.
Read your bills, people.
Right, right.
Shit.
Right. When you're making a vote, pay attention.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Be sure you know who you're going to be honoring.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're going to honor a serial killer for his population control. You monsters.
Right, right. So, on a different note.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
In 1979, Australia had had enough.
Mm-hmm.
They had had enough.
Done. No mas.
No mas. Our Aussie friends had had a gutful when chunks of NASA's space lab space station fell on their continent.
Yes.
They'd had it.
They're done. Listen.
You people have pissed me off. You are throwing your garbage all over my continent. And we, the Australian people,
mm-hmm.
are going to fine you $400.
$400.
$400. This was in 1979.
What did great old America do?
America basically hung it off in their ass and still hasn't paid it.
It's that one tiny bill that you're like, oh, I'll get to that. And then you shove it away and then you forget about it for 6 months until you get another bill that has the interest and you're like, wait a minute.
What the hell is this? Right? That or the collections man shows up at your door and he's like, you've been served.
Oh, and you're like, what for? That's us right now with Australia. Hey, you should send us that bill back. We'll probably still not pay it.
We'll look at you and be like, really?
Did you ever pick it up?
Really? Is it still sitting out there or what'd you do with it? Because if you made anything out of it or you used it in any way, shape, or form, that's paid.
We're just kind of assholes. We're like, yeah, fuck you, Australia. We'll pay our bills when we want to.
Right. Did you recycle that? I bet you got more than $400. You're welcome.
It's been almost 40 years. Fuck you. I'm not paying these bills.
Right.
You just should forget about that by now.
Mm-hmm. So back onto the serious side for a moment.
Yes. Now we're going to jump back into another serious thing, a law. So due to a debt crisis in Topeka, Kansas in 2011, they decided to save money by repealing domestic violence laws so citizens didn't have to pay for trials. But what it really was is the city council voted to decriminalize domestic violence in order to put the burden on county to fund the prosecutions. So it was kind of playing chicken.
Uh-huh.
Like, we don't want to pay this, but we want you to pay this. So here, we're going to decriminalize this. You guys morally will be like, oh no.
Yeah.
This, you can't not do this.
Right.
And what did county do? They're like, fine, whatever. Do it. Passed. Yeah. So they took away domestic violence laws all for a power struggle. And so what is bullshit, though, is that when it happened in September of 2011, they had to let go 18 people.
Uh-huh.
And then one of them was arrested again for domestic violence against his wife.
Yeah.
Like the very next day. So because of this weird power struggle, they're like, oh, all these people that are just being convicted of domestic violence, we gotta let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
They're lucky. What if people died?
Uh-huh.
Have people died?
Guarantee you.
Ugh.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Uh-huh.
So the government fighting over budget cuts, but being able to be like, yeah, we don't care who gets lost in the middle. No.
Uh-huh.
Listen, Topeka, Kansas.
Well, and it's not just Topeka that does stuff like that.
No, it's not. It's everywhere. Even if the laws are in place, it's still like that.
Right. So basically, when it comes out in the wash, what's more important to the government?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm saying this government. Is it the people or is it the finances?
Well,
because in 2011 in Topeka, Kansas,
when you read cases like this, it's hard to believe that it's about the people.
Uh-huh.
Just because it makes you go, wait a minute.
Right.
What?
Right.
What?
Right.
Yeah. So we'll get out of that one and go into the next one.
Title 14, Section 1211, the Code of Federal Regulations, was put into place just before Apollo 11 in 1969. This said that the government could legally quarantine all astronauts if they became contaminated with alien virus while walking on the moon.
They were so worried.
Uh-huh. The popular belief with this code was said that it was illegal to have contact with extraterrestrials and or their vehicles. This was not the case, and the law has not been repealed since 1991.
No, the law was not repealed until 91.
Oh, excuse me. This was not the case, and this law was not repealed until 1991.
Right. So it wasn't ever, they didn't care if you played with aliens or their spaceships.
Right.
Just as long as you didn't catch a disease, and if you did, we're going to quarantine you and probably do all the science experiments.
Right. So my question is this. If you're Jim Bob Jethro and you've been abducted by aliens and that alien probed your butthole, does that make your butthole illegal because it's been touched by aliens and you are infected with an alien infectious disease?
Maybe the alien was wearing a condom.
Yeah.
On his finger?
On on his finger. Probes.
Really?
Aliens are just looking for love, man. All right. So anyways, during the Prohibition, to scare people from drinking booze, the government poisoned large shipments of industrial booze that was typically stolen by bootleggers. Over 10,000 people died as a result.
Wait. The government?
The government did it to prove a point, to make people afraid to drink alcohol because they made it a law that you couldn't do it anymore. Huh. So they purposely poisoned booze to murder people.
Wait a minute.
Conspiracy theories.
Wait. Was Stalin our president at the time? Because that's some fucking sideways bullshit.
Right?
We know you people are still drinking illegal booze, but
we decided we wanted to make it illegal.
Yeah, we're going to teach you a lesson, so we're going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Huh. Looking to you, government.
Huh. Hey, this one's fun.
See, and this is also why the government would have such a great time looking through my search history, because I have stuff like that about booze. And then we jump right into the next thing, which is...
The electric vibrator. A dildo.
No, it's a vibrator. They're different.
Are they?
A dildo doesn't go bzz, bzz. It could be a rock. It could be just a shape.
Okay. I sit here corrected on my terminology.
Learn your sex toys, sir.
Excuse the hell out of me. My sex toy is talking on the other microphone. So the electric vibrator was the fifth home electric invention once home electricity was available for all. The sewing machine was the first in 1889. The vibrator would come out 9 years before the vacuum, 10 years before the electric iron, and well over a decade before the electric frying pan.
See, proof, you don't need to be making food. You don't need to be cleaning the house. That vibrator is number one. And sewing and getting off.
Uh-huh. So... to go with that, back in the day, it was said that 75% of women suffered from hysteria.
Right.
With a disease with symptoms of headache, epileptic fits, and foul language. So clitoral stimuli was the cure-all. Lady, dude, you were having a fucking meltdown. You are off your rocker. Go rub one out real quick. You'll feel better.
I mean, it's not wrong. Nobody's mad when they're happy like that. But because they were all weird about it, they even had to change the word orgasm to say it for me.
Hysterical paroxysm?
It sounds either like a cleaning product or like a Harry Potter casting spell. Like, I haven't decided. It sounds like hydrogen peroxide and... in some sort of wizard spell.
Right.
Just call it an orgasm. It's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. So doctors tried to separate it because during the Victorian era when this was happening, it wasn't necessarily that they were against women having sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
They just put the woman's orgasm being the most important thing. So it should only be saved for like marriage, and it is the best and the only way for like procreation.
Okay.
Because when a woman orgasms, she's more likely to get pregnant. Well, duh, that's because we go and we breathe it all up in there. With an orgasm, so it moves everything up so you can actually get pregnant. So for
sorry.
Say it.
You're saying that you're breathing through between your legs?
Yeah.
Bitch, better grab a toothbrush because that breath stank.
Oh, goodness. I don't know how much of that is going to survive. Okay. So... because they separated it so much, doctors thought that women could only be sexually stimulated by penetration only.
Right. So now explain Penetration.
Oh, penetration.
On its original terminology.
It's another word for to gain knowledge.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh.
Your penetration level.
Uh-huh.
Your brain level. So yeah, because they thought that it was only, you could only get it through stimulation, through penetration, they were more upset. It was more controversial at the time for vibrators or speculums than it was for the vibrator, because the vibrator was just a way to cure a headache or to cure a bunch of different things. They were putting like vibrators on everything. And so they thought that it was an actual medical instrument.
Mm.
But they just had these crazy women that were always coming in with their hysteria. I mean, I don't fault them. So what was crazy, though, is when we were looking through this, then we learned about Dr. James Mortimer Granville, and he had invented a vibrator. But before that...
I believe it's Granville, not Granville. There's no I.
Oh, did I? Okay. Granville.
Just say.
No, thank you. Granville. But anyways, before his invention...
And I lied on that. There is an I, but not where you put it.
Oh, shut up. Let me talk. Before his invention, they had a water stimuli.
Yeah.
Which was basically...
Like a 4-inch fire hose.
Yeah, they would take a fire hose to these women's vaginas. You can't put that much pressure on there.
Have you ever seen the video on YouTube of the boat with the cover not working right?
That video makes me so happy. But they also started opening up all these spas, and people would always say, hey, you don't see a lot of men go to these wellness spas.
Right.
Only women go. Still to this day, it's kind of the same way. But that's because women were like, oh, they're going to put jets on my vagina? All
right. Right. Oh, so wait a minute. Wait. You're going to a spa.
Mm-hmm. We get our happy endings.
Yeah. To go and get Chukracha a bath.
Oh my goodness, I hate you. I hate you so much. So from the water one, then their next big step was the steam vibrator.
Yeah, steam powered vibrator.
Which was this thing that had a padded chair where somebody could sit, and it was on like this, there was a spherical? Wow.
A what? Spherical?
Thank you.
A spherical?
A spherical? Oh, thing in the middle. Anyways, somebody would sit on that, but then the doctors would have to
stoke the fire.
Shovel coal into it. And I'm just picturing that in a room right now.
Right. What I have in my mind is an old school locomotive.
Yeah. When I was researching this, I was talking with a group of friends, and one of our group of friends, when he heard this part about the coal, he sent a video of somebody picking up coals with shovels and tossing it into the fire for a locomotive train, and mm-hmm. I laughed so hard. Because that's what I picture. That's how I see it. But just instead of a train, it's just some chick sitting there.
Right.
Trying to get happy.
Right. So you've got this old timey doctor in his white lab coat with his little black button tie and his little stethoscope deal hanging around his neck, and the little mirror reflective like halo around his forehead, shoveling
coal.
She's
like, everything that anybody does pisses me off. They look at me wrong. I want to stab them. I have headaches. I don't know what to do. And he's like, get in the steam room. You have chronic hysteria. Oh, so now I just want to say Granville now.
Mm-hmm.
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 Dr. Granville?
Granville. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So he invented one that could go home, but he always said that it wasn't for women. He actually made it to help men out for like sore muscles and stuff, kind of like a massage chair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, us women, we're like, okay. Yeah, we'll let you think. Yeah, it's totally for your muscles, babe. It's totally for that shoulder pain.
Oh, but hey, guess what else it's good for? Guys, if you have a tummy ache, you can take said home remedy and place it on your tummy. And it'll help shake farts out.
Yeah, apparently, if you have heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, you do not need Pepto. You need a vibrator to your belly button. I did not know this, and now I do.
Uh-huh.
And I feel happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
So his, though, his battery, the first battery, was 40 pounds. Can you imagine 40 pounds for a vibrator? Oh, no.
Right, right. I'm going to carry a battery the size of a three-year-old into the house. Now, back in the day, it was probably a 6-volt battery.
Mm-hmm.
So it has just enough power to do some damage,
mm-hmm.
but not enough power to really get you going.
Do you know what scares me is that era of sex toys, especially the ones that, you know, you had to plug into the wall, but the cord wasn't very long. So that's dangerous. That's electrocution. You can't have wet things right next to an electrical socket, especially back then when they didn't have things to test it. Like, that's 1,000 ways to die just waiting to happen.
There's no ground fault circuit breaker there. What?
I mean, you're going to go out with a bang and you're going to be happy, but that's a weird way to find grandma.
Hey, you know why grandma always had those plastic skirts and curtains all over her couches and stuff?
Oh, no. Yeah, I do.
Why is that?
Because grandma's a squirter. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yep. So... Oh,
the
God.
Rabbit holes that happen when we find little... And all of that started out because I had just found out that the vibrator was the fifth thing invented.
Fifth electrical thing. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's funny. It came before the vacuum? What? That blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went down this weird, perverted rabbit hole. But now we're going to come out and go right into Hitler.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. So this one will develop into its very own episode down the line.
Yes.
But Hitler had a very, very strange love for dwarves.
Right. Well, and he had that because of the movie Snow White.
Right. However, he illegally acquired a copy of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves because anything that was made in America was illegal.
Not okay to have in Germany.
Nine. Not between 8 and 10, but 9.
And he loved the movie because it was weird and fascinating and awesome.
Right.
And it was also, the animation for its time was well beyond its time and way better than anything that Germany had. So he also hated it because of stupid fucking Americans making this movie better. Plus it's dwarfs. It's a little weird.
Right.
You know, so he ended up falling in love with dwarfs, and he actually used to make watercolors. Like, he would sit and draw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little fun fact on Hitler.
Right.
Is that he liked Sleepy and Grumpy and...
Dopey and Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more stories beyond that that I started to go down that rabbit hole.
And that's a big rabbit hole.
And then I realized it can be its own episode.
Right.
So this is what happens when we do things so quickly.
Right.
You know, lots of trial and error.
In 2005, while filming Batman Begins, a drunk driver crashed into the Batmobile thinking it was an invading alien spacecraft.
Why would you want to crash into it?
Dude was ripped.
Well, yeah. Now, the question is, did he think, holy crap, I need to try to stop this thing, so I'm going to crash into it? Or was he just doing one of those drunken stares at it like, what the hell? And then,
oh, no. Haven't you ever checked out the National Enquirer when you're standing in line at the grocery store?
Mm-hmm.
We offer $1 million bounty if you can provide proof of alien spacecrafts.
Alien spacecrafts. I love it. That's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that, and I love that movie.
Yes.
I sure do.
Yes.
So another fun fact, at least for here in the United States, is that it's estimated that we lose $83 million in work cancellations, plane ticket cancellations, train cancellations, just because it's the 13th of the month and people are terrified of that number.
Yes.
If they hear, oh, you're going to be flying out on the 13th, they will say, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
That is crazy. I love the 13th. Right. It's my favorite day.
Hey, did you know that the billing code for injury result of a spacecraft?
So if you get injured by a spacecraft?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that billing code is E as in Edward 845.0.
I wonder how many insurances cover that.
Two.
Two. We should see if ours does. Hey, do you cover E845.0?
Right.
That'd be cool. Also, to kind of go with that a little bit, the first known photograph of a UFO was in 1870, which actually was 30 years before the Wright brothers made their first flight in December 17th of 1903.
Really?
But we have a photograph of something in the air that looks like a UFO back in
1870. I'll be damned.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Aliens. We invaded long ago. We are the aliens. Look at what we do.
Right. So a different fact is gallstones extracted from animals were used to treat wounds in the 19th century. Some felt that the chemicals in the stones would ward off infections.
Yeah. So if somebody had an open wound, they're like, hey, let's go cut some gallstones out of this animal and we'll pack your wounds with it and that will help.
No thanks.
No.
No.
It reminds me of that meme that Lindsay found. Oh, it says being an old-timey doctor would rule. Just drunk as hell, like, yeah, you got ghosts in your blood. You should do some cocaine about it. It's basically
right
what it is, and that's kind of proof of, oh, you got a wound, you got some bad stuff, let's put some gallstones in it from animals. Yeah. That'll help it.
Yeah.
That helps keep the infection out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were very dumb. Lots of trial and error.
Right.
Life, what do you do?
Right. The Nigeria fowleri, also known as brain-eating amoeba, hijacks the victim's brain and causes confusion, hallucinations, and loss of motor functions. Death can happen in under a week. It's found in 70% of American lakes.
That's gross.
70% of America's lakes have the Nigerian fowleri.
The brain-eating amoeba.
Uh-huh.
Well, guess who's not going in lakes anymore? That'd be me.
That'd be me.
Mm-hmm. Jason also can't get me if I'm not at a lake.
That's just Crystal Lake. You're good.
It's just Crystal Lake. Probably Crystal Lake's probably one of the only 30% though.
Right. So I wonder if they really enjoyed that drink at that lake. Crystal Light at Crystal Lake.
Or Crystal.
Quit churching it up, asshole. It's Crystal.
That's awesome. So the universal pain scale for insects that we have, it was actually tested and created by a group of scientists who obviously were a group of boys that are like, you know, the best way to determine how much this is going to hurt? If we sting each other with some shit.
Right. These were the original jackasses.
Yeah. And they did. And they stung themselves countless times with over 78 different species.
Oh, good.
Those are some tough people.
Yeah.
I appreciate them for their pain scale.
Yeah.
Because what they considered the pain scale is, for me, a bee sting. And I turn into a little bitch cake for like 12 hours.
It's a fucking tan.
It is a tan. Especially when I stepped on like a wasp or something.
Yeah.
On my foot. Oh.
Yeah.
Teach me to go outside barefoot. I never learned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now we're going to kind of go into some corpse medicine to finish this off with.
Right. So this dude has a really original name.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. French alchemist and physician John French made He made a type of corpse medicine called brain mash, a type of drink.
And this is a direct quote from him on how to actually make it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it says, take the brains of a young man that hath died a violent death, together with the membranes, arteries, veins, nerves, and all the pith of the back, which just sounds super gross.
Right.
And bruise these in a stone mortar till they become a kind of pack. cap. Once mashed, the brain paste was then covered in a spirit of wine and left to digest in horse poo for 6 months before being turned into a liquid for you to drink. And
yeah, let's take all this dude's gross parts and put it in road apples.
No. Why the horse poop? Why you gotta mash shit for brains? Never mind. It all makes sense. We're good. Mystery solved. Moving on. Oh, man. Okay, so he used to be an army physician, and he actually worked at the Savoy Hospital. And so he would just take a lot of the dead people, and that's how he prepared his brain mash. And actually, like a lot of other corpse medicine, it wasn't a fad. You can go throughout history and see a bunch of different ones. There was a... Tell us about the even nastier one.
An even nastier version from the 1730s involved smashing of human brains, hearts, and bladder stones with breast milk and warm blood.
Tasty.
You know what helps me relax after a nice, long, hard day out?
What's that?
A concoction of human brains, hearts, bladder stones, boob juice, and warm blood. Yes, yes, it's so relaxing.
We need to find awesome names for these, like a whole drink line.
No.
No?
No.
You don't want to learn how to make some cocktails and call them some craziest things?
Not made out of that garbage.
Not made out of that, but something that would go with that.
No.
No?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, fine.
I'll take a nice cold beer. Hey, did you know that according to the English physician George Thompson, he was around from 1619 to 1676.
Not too long ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but you know. Yeah, the best cure for hemorrhoids was the sweat of a dying man.
Huh.
You could go to your local executioner and ask them for sweat, but if they didn't have any sweat, they could give you someone's severed hand, and you could rub that on your balloon knot, and it'd help it feel better.
Yeah. Why are we so weird?
I have no idea.
Why are people so weird?
I have
never, ever in my life have I thought about a hemorrhoid and been like, I wonder what a cold dead hand would feel like on it.
Right.
Is that like the original ice pack before it was an ice pack?
I don't know.
But some other corpse medicine is executioners would also, right after the execution would happen, would start dismembering and peeling away this person. And then it would be shipped off or given to physicians to where they could cut it up or boil it down or do whatever they wanted to make medicine. The poor people would try to get as close to the execution place as possible with cups so they can try to save their blood, because it was always a common belief that your soul runs through your blood. And so after somebody dies, if you drink it, it will help you feel better in whatever, if you're sick, because you're consuming the soul of somebody else.
Okay.
So fun facts.
All right.
Yeah. So, but totally separate from that, we have Milton S. Hershey, aka Hershey Bar, all of our delicious fat kid treats, right?
Right.
All the things we
all
love.
All the Hershey's.
Hershey's.
Reese's. Minus the squirts.
You will get the squirts if you eat too much Hershey's.
Okay. Okay.
All right. He actually bought a ticket for $300 to go on the Titanic, and he was supposed to go, but he couldn't because of scheduling issues. So when Titanic left in 1912, Hershey had only made the Hershey bar and the Hershey kiss, nothing else.
Really?
No Reese's, no Kit Kats, no nothing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So let's go into our last one. Our final one for the night.
Mm-hmm. So the graham cracker was invested by... or invented by.
That's the one.
The graham cracker was invented by Reverend Sylvester Graham, a Connecticut Presbyterian minister who hoped that the graham cracker plus a vegetarian diet would curb the sex drive in people. I totally just beefed a family of four.
I'm just going to say that if we thought hysteria was a thing, that we needed to have clitoral stimulation, how fuck does this guy think a graham cracker is going to help that?
Have a graham cracker and a carrot and shut the hell up, would you?
Like a graham cracker is going to make my downstairs not be happy?
Right.
If anything, it's going to make it worse. Have you had a s'mores?
Fair enough.
Have you had pie with graham cracker crust? He just recently died, too.
Really?
Like, yeah, not like a week ago.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, thanks, dude, for your graham crackers. They're delicious.
Appreciate the concept of the s'mores. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm not a good girl. You can't save me from the devil.
Right.
All right.
Well, ladies and germs, so this has been a kind of impromptu episode.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on the lighter side before we go way into the heavy side.
Mm-hmm. This is us just being insane.
Yeah, this is just having some fun.
Trying to say things for the sake of saying them, you know.
Right, but also throwing out some information.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about our humor part.
Oh, yeah. No.
You and I do this thing where if you come in at a 2, I'm going to take it to a 4.
Right.
And then a 6, and then an 8. And then usually one of us will be like, oh, screw a 10. Let's take it to a 50.
Right. Yeah, we're gonna go way over the top. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, this kind of humor might be popping in and out all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? But our next case that we start tomorrow is really cool. It covers a lot of different things.
Right.
I mean, you have kind of cultiness. You have grooming.
Mm-hmm.
You have serial killing. You have group killing.
Yeah.
You have hate crime.
Right.
You have fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a smorgasbord.
Right. There's a whole bunch.
And so it's going to be a big case and so many barrels of fun.
Oh, yeah. So to go with that, kind of, but not really, but kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen what our weather's supposed to be like
Mm-mm.
coming up on Friday?
Mm-mm.
We're supposed to get some snow here.
Oh, I hope we get all the snow.
Yeah.
We need the snow.
We do need the snow.
Everybody needs snow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we will see you tomorrow. We're randomly just being like, goodbye.
Right.
Deuces.
Right. Have a good evening or day or afternoon.
Wherever you are in your life, have a good one.
Right. Be good.